Welcome back to Here's the Thing Podcast. I am Mark Cotton.
And I am Brianna Janelle.
And today we are talking about cinema.
Yeah, I know this is like your wheelhouse.
So. Yeah, for those who don't know, I love I'm a movie buff. I love movies. I have created a couple of short films. And cinema is just, it really is just the peak of entertainment for me. Like, I don't think there's anything better than a good movie. Like, you know, some surround sound, whatever the case is. Like, you know, I love me a good movie.
Yeah.
But for today to talk about Christian cinema, like, I feel like there's always been, like this interesting, like, you know, approach to Christian films. And films that are supposed to reflect Christ or have a Christ-centered message or whatever the case is. So if you had to pick three top movies, if you got more than three, that's okay. But think about three top Christian films you got.
Okay.
Nate, give me those.
All right. So top three, of course, I have to start off with Prince of Egypt. Now, listen, I know it has its flaws.
Okay.
But that is a great movie.
It's a classic. Come on. We're not going to sit here and crap on the Prince of Egypt.
Okay. Number two, I have A Case for Christ. As far as like Christian movies, I really like that one. It really is an interesting story on how Lee Strobel came to his acknowledgement of Christ from an atheist.
Okay.
And so I just love how they kind of show the research and all the evidence and all these things. To prove that Jesus is real and that he rose again. But anyways, and then thirdly, hear me out. Okay. Lion King.
Lion King is not a Christian film, bro.
Yes, it is.
We're not doing this today.
It is, though.
There were so many other movies you could have picked in your top three Christian movies, and you picked Lion King.
You heard what I said.
Mufasa.
Yeah. Simba.
That's my brother. Like, come on. Like, okay. Explain it for me.
Okay. So think about it. You got Simba, right?
Okay.
The son of Mufasa.
The son of a king. Okay.
Son of a king, right? We got the father. We got the son. You got Scar. He represents Satan. He's accuser of the brethren. He's accusing him of killing his father, right? Okay. And then he goes into a wilderness.
Oh, my God.
Right? Simba's out in the world living his best life, like a lot of us.
Christians love the word wilderness, boy. Like, oh, he's in the wilderness.
Did he not go through a wilderness?
Okay, continue.
He's out in the world, Hakuna Matata, loving all the things. It takes somebody like a Rafiki and to show him who he is inside, who he has on inside of him. We all have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so when he looks in his reflection and he sees, oh, shoot, the king lives in me. It's like, how can we not see, like, watch the Lion King and see the gospel, like, all up and through that thing? Is it just me?
Yes.
Once he finds out who he is, he comes into the authority that he had the whole time.
This is more like prodigal son story. Like you could flip it to have a Christian message.
It for sure has a Christian message. I can't believe you don't see this.
I don't. I'm about to say, and the fact that you have two animated movies in your top three Christian films.
Yo, I feel judgment.
Like, nah.
And I don't appreciate it.
Nah, I can see it a little bit. It's not all the way there though.
Really?
Is it
a stretch?
You're reaching.
Wow.
I think you're reaching. Just a little bit. Not a lot, just a little.
I can't believe you said that. Okay.
But it's a good take. I mean, I think that it's the ingredients are there.
It's
and you
there.
Wanted to make
the whole
cake,
message is there.
But you ended up making pot pie instead. Like, that's like it. Like the son, the king, cool. Who, so if you had to relate the characters in Lion King to the Bible, who would they be? Who is Mufasa? Is he God? Satan is Scar.
Mufasa
cool.
is God the Father, but I feel like Simba represents us as believers. I told you, like, we go through, everything's hunky-dory when we're kids for the most part. Then okay. something happens. Then, you know, we fall into condemnation, right? The accuser of the brother, Scar, he got his little, he's Satan. He got his little demons. You know, the little hyenas and stuff. They trying to take you out any way that they can.
Got us little demons.
What? And so we go through wilderness seasons. I know I had my time in the world.
Sure.
You know, where I thought everything was great.
Hakuna Matata.
But I was living under who I was really called to be. But once I realized who I was, who I always was, the authority that I have, come on. Come on, somebody.
Not you preaching
Once
to yourself.
Once you realize that you the king lives happy. In you, I bet you he defeated them demons, though.
The demons turned on Scar.
And took his rightful place. I don't see how you don't see this.
The ingredients are there.
All right. I digress.
Well, if I had to do a top five.
Oh, wow. We're on top five. Okay.
I mean.
No, please.
I just like. Love Christian cinema. And I think that my list is very controversial. So before we start, my list is very controversial. They are not the average, typical Christian films that you would think are out there.
Okay.
So, all right. So look, because I wrote these down myself. So I'll say Prince of Egypt because, again, is what we grew up on.
It's a great movie.
Super inaccurate, but
great.
We will digress because Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey are battling on a song, and it was beautiful. Okay. I'm about to say, so we overlooked that. Then you have Evan Almighty.
Your top.
Hey, Evan Almighty is a good biblical movie.
Okay.
It's a good one based on the story. Like, you know, like the story of Noah, like, I think Evan Almighty is a solid film.
Okay.
Solid.
Okay.
Then I have Mother. Mother, if you haven't seen Mother, Mother is not a movie for everybody.
No, it's not.
I'm about to say, I recommend that you do, like, maybe watch a trailer. Like, you know, like, I don't want to give the movie away. I'm about to say, but there's a lot of biblical. It is super biblical. I'm about to say, like, you know, and it's a hard watch. I'm about to say, there's some tough things in it to watch. And the depiction of, like, you know, God is not.
Yeah.
It's not, like, you know, 100% his nature.
At all.
But the setting and everything, some of the characters outside of God, all the other characters, I think is a solid film. Mother is a good biblical film.
It's an interesting take on. Like,
don't say it, because if they ain't seen it, then you're going to give it away. Because the movie is so ambiguous in the beginning, you don't know until you know. So if you tell them that, then they're going to know.
I just told them, but okay.
I did low-key just say it, but so. All right, cool. No, but don't tell them. Then I have the Book of Eli. Book of Eli, you seen it?
You know I haven't seen it, and you know why. Somebody ruined it for me.
Oh, yeah.
They said,
I'm sorry.
I wanted to know, and they was like, oh, you know. I was like, don't tell me. They was like, okay, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you this one thing.
If you ain't seen the Book of Eli.
He was blind the whole time. And I was like, something tells me that's the crux of the whole movie. And so I just never felt
the
need to
watch it. The Book of Eli is a good post-apocalyptic movie that has the Bible at the center of it. I'm about to say, like, you know, the faith at the center of it. I'm about to say, so if you ain't seen the Book of Eli, go watch it. Then you got The Matrix.
Okay.
The Matrix is a solid biblical film.
I agree.
Through and through. I'm about to say, like, you know, and there's so
the
many
whole
little.
Trilogy.
Yeah, I'm about to say 2 and 3 are terrible movies.
Okay, but
nah,
it paints the whole picture.
Nah, I'm about to say, I think you could have watched Matrix 1 and been okay.
Okay.
Like, And it technically has the coolest resurrection ever.
Okay.
When Neo gets shot and he resurrects, because Neo's supposed to be a representation of Jesus, is so much better than Mel Gibson's naked thigh on The Passion of Christ. Like,
okay.
It's the best resurrection in any biblical movie. I'm about to say, like, you know, like, I think that all the way through and through. You watch The Matrix, there's names in The Matrix that are all pointing to the Bible. Mm-hmm. About, say, like, you know, Keanu Reeves is the one who mm-hmm. was supposed to be Jesus. About, say, like, you know, Anderson, name, when you look up the definition of Anderson, it literally means son of man. Okay, about, say, okay. like, you know, and this is what we call Jesus, the son of man. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, there's so many things. And for those who say that The Matrix it can't be biblical because of all the violence, I encourage you to read Matthew 10:34, where Jesus says, I did not come here to bring peace. Not peace, but a sword. So every time that we see Neo, a.k.a. the depiction of Jesus, fighting and killing, like, he's not doing this from a standpoint of just glorified violence. This is Hollywood. Hollywood, it has to entertain.
Yeah, yeah.
First and foremost,
yeah.
to make money. But then on top of that, like, you know, it, like, when Jesus comes back on that horse, he's not coming to like, oh, let me pray for you. Let me. No, 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 no. My Bible said that he comes with a sword in his hand, tattoo on his thigh. I don't know if Keanu Reeves had a tattoo on his thigh named Neo, but I was about to say, but other than that, he'd come back to shake some stuff up. You come back to kill some stuff.
Yeah.
So that's like, you know, like, for those who will question that because of the violence, I get it. But watch the movie in its completeness.
So was that five?
That's four.
Okay, what's your fifth?
My last one, super controversial. One of my favorite biblical films to date.
Mm-hmm.
The Book of Clarence. The Book of Clarence. Let's talk about it.
You just want to start some stuff.
I don't. I think The Book of Clarence is an amazing film. Amazing film. You don't believe this. Why don't you?
Okay.
Why don't you think that The Book of Clarence is a good film?
We'll unpack this a little bit later. Because you mentioned so many things just in your top five.
Okay.
One that I'd like to kind of talk about is, do we think that books, like, explicitly based off the Bible need to be 100% accurate?
Do we think books? Do we think movies?
I'm sorry, movies, no, you're fine. Yes.
Do I think a movie needs to be 100% accurate when it's based off the Bible? Here's my thing.
Okay.
When you are doing a biblical film, when you're doing anything that involves the Bible, what we are going to do, for those who at least read the Bible,
mm-hmm.
is we're going to try to point out flaws, because I think that that's in our nature, to point out what's wrong.
Okay.
Like, hey, like, nah, that's not how it really happened. No, that's, but you got to give room for creative, like, you know, it's a word for it that directors use, and I feel really bad for not knowing this, but creative, the camera's on my face. A creative freedom to be able to change certain things up for the sake of entertainment, for the sake of telling the story.
Yeah.
So when, and then on top of that, when you don't have all the details, because everything's not documented in the Bible that actually happened. They didn't say he took 10 paces to the left and then he turned right and then he blinked. And then, like, they don't say that. So when I'm telling the story, I have to be able to infer what may have happened here, what may have happened there. So I don't mind inferences. What I do mind is blatant lies.
Mm.
Don't lie to me in no biblical movie.
Okay, but in that same note,
okay,
Prince of Egypt wasn't your top. Lots of lies going on.
Lots of lies.
So
The Prince of Egypt is so biblically flawed. And I think the thing that really messed me up about The Prince of Egypt, which I think that, like, you know, we got to be aware of what we let our children watch, is that for a long time, I believed everything that I saw in the movie as biblically accurate.
Oh, yeah, I took it as, like,
oh, it's Bible.
Wow, this really happened.
Yeah, like, you know, so at the end of the day, it's like this story, like, really became something that became, like, revelation to me. Mm. Like, no matter, like how flawed it was or whatever case it was, I automatically thought that this was truth. So when I started reading the Bible and I realized that
they were Moses never brothers. Actually,
Moses took Aaron with him.
Yes, he was not by himself.
Aaron wasn't there with Miriam
yeah.
as a slave. Like, Pharaoh and Moses weren't brothers.
That part.
That's my brother. That wasn't the case. Like, please. You know, like, look, That thing is so bad. But like, you know, like that wasn't true. So the danger in that is really believing that to be gospel. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, you know, when we're gonna make a movie based off the Bible, I think that we at least need to keep the main details accurate.
Main details as far as like character names, because they did. I mean,
character names. I'm about to say, and then like their relationships with their characters. I think it's a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. Maybe it should be all 100% accurate. Maybe mm-hmm. you'll get less flack, because another movie, The Shack.
It's interesting because, like, you know, if you read through Genesis, there's so much drama.
Yeah.
There's so much, like, that would be so juicy and so entertaining just on its own.
Right.
I wonder why we feel the need to add or take away from anything just to make it more entertaining or maybe even more palatable.
I mean, yeah, but that's Hollywood, though. I think maybe Hollywood is turning on, hey, let's make it. Because, I mean, we're not going to sit here and act like making Pharaoh and Moses brothers in a film wasn't a hit.
It was. It created a different type of tension.
Yeah, the drama was thick. Like, yeah. You know, in that movie, like, you know, like, oh, like, they came back. Oh, they cool. Now he's mad at them. Now it's like, oh, the song just hit better now. Yeah. Like, you know, simply because, like, you know, you just, like, what did he say in the song? Like, you know.
Once you were my brother.
Yeah, yeah, I'm about to say.
I thought the chance to make you laugh was all I ever wanted.
It's in your house. It's in your bed. It's in your. I mean, that is the scariest song within the movie.
For sure.
Like, that movie will haunt you. If you ain't got that blood on your doorstep, door post, listen, my God. Listen. But yeah, it's like, so, I think that, like, you know, it's dangerous because it just puts you in a position to really be critical. When you read the Bible, when you know what the Bible says, now it's hard for me to let my kids watch The Prince of Egypt. Because it's like, this really ain't how it went down, y'all. Like, you know,
it's still entertaining. It is. It still kind of shows the power of God.
So should we?
Kind of show all the plagues.
Yeah.
His wife, his time in, you know, Midian or wherever he was. So.
Okay.
You know?
So do you think, and this is like, do you think that movies that are based off the Bible are okay just being entertaining and not accurate?
I think that if we're going to base them off the Bible as blatant as like the Prince of Egypt or something like that, it should be accurate.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of secular movies that have underlying biblical themes where I feel like you're able to take a little bit more creative freedom to, I know which word you're talking about, I can't think of either. Creative liberty to to kind of add or take away from an actual story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, like, you know, if that mentality is the one that we have going in, then I'm okay. My homeboy Carl, shout out to Carl Dixon, but he told me one time, he was like, I don't go to the movies to get 100% theology. I'm going to read my Bible for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so I can watch a movie, quote unquote, based off the Bible and not be as critical simply because I didn't come here for a sermon. Mm-hmm. I came here to be entertained. And I think that when we recognize that the movies are meant to entertain you, now at that point in time, you can kind of pick and choose what you allow yourself to be entertained by. But mm-hmm. like, you know, like if you're going there for accuracy, then you're gonna be disappointed every time.
Yeah.
Because there's no way, like, you know, with as much as what's missing, and I say missing not from a stance of we've taken books out the Bible and mm-hmm. taken scriptures out the Bible. No. From a stance of what's missing when it comes to like every detail. Like, you know, like that doesn't exist in the Bible. So if you're going to make something based off the Bible, you literally have to go line upon line, precept upon precept, and just act out the exact way the verse is. And if you do anything other than that, then you're doing too much.
Mm.
And I think that's just not realistic.
Mm.
So I don't mind it, about to say, but like I said, in the back of my head, watching the movies, I'm just like, that's not how it went down. Like, that's inaccurate, about to say, like, you know, but like, to your point, movies that aren't necessarily based on particular stories within the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at The Shack for a second.
Mm-hmm.
The Shack caught a lot of flack.
Yes, it did.
And you like that movie, don't you?
And my mom loves it.
Mm.
She just thought it was just
the most amazing thing ever.
Yes.
I personally wasn't a fan of the movie.
Why not?
Obvious reasons. I about to say, like, you know, I did not like that they made God a female.
Mm-hmm.
Then they made Jesus, like, you know, like, Jesus was cool, I guess, and they made Holy Spirit a woman, I want to say. Like, it was like, a white woman. So you got Asian. Black God, white Asian. Woman as Holy Spirit, and then you got a Middle Eastern man as Jesus, which is like...
kind of accurate.
Accurate. I'm about to say, but then, like, you know, as the movie goes on, it's like... watching the movie, it was a tough watch. I mean, like, even going back to the whole idea of, like, you know, like, how he got there. Like, you know, your daughter gets kidnapped, your daughter gets, like, it's like, it was a rough start.
A lot of people had problems with it from a theology basis, saying that it was heresy because the guy who wrote the book and, you know, made the movie or whatever, doesn't believe in, like, hell and that God will actually send people to hell. He kind of thinks that it's like God is not really a God of wrath, and you hear a lot of that dialogue in the movie itself.
Yeah, there's that part where she's like, you know,
God's
wrath.
Listening to
no, not me. Like, you know, like, I don't know where you heard that from. I'm like,
the word.
It's in here.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Continue.
Yeah. No, that and how she was listening to, you know, God is up there listening to secular music of all things and
right.
just different things about even how they tried to make him make these tough decisions that supposedly God makes. And it's like, yeah, God actually does make those tough decisions. But
yeah.
The way they paint it is
nasty work. I wasn't a fan
of it. It's a nice movie if you, again, can separate the fact that it's just entertainment and
yeah.
you can kind of chew the hay and spit out the sticks. Yeah.
But I mean, I think even to that point, the message behind the movie, I thought was a decent message. The message is about forgiveness.
Right.
The message is about being able to love your enemies, mm-hmm. for lack of better words.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at the movie from that perspective, I can be like, okay, this is a good message.
Yes.
If nothing else.
Yeah.
But because of the way that y'all made my God look and made my God sound, and it wasn't accurate to his character, now it's like, I don't know if I can even receive from this thing because you done messed it up so bad.
But see, in the beginning of the conversation, you said that it's okay to have, you know, biblically themed movies.
Sure.
And they not be 100% accurate.
But if you're going to depict God.
Oh, so now if it's God, it has to be accurate.
I mean, I'm
but
just saying, like,
else,
you know, like,
even though he is his word.
No, I'm saying that if you're going to depict God of all people, God, Son, Holy Spirit, if you're going to do Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I think that, like, first and foremost, like, you know, nobody has seen God and survived. So what are we doing having a whole dinner with him, like, you know, in a random shack, and we just all just cooling? Now, granted, I'm about to say I do understand Exodus 24. I'm about to say, like, you know, and that's another topic for another day. But the Bible says that no man has seen God.
Yes.
And survived. So, like, every depiction of God when you read the Bible, it's like, it's so much more than that. And I feel like they just dumped down the character for the sake of Hollywood, which is like, okay, like, you know, like, you can't, like, you can show God, like, as best as you can according to the descriptions. But would that be a cool interaction? Probably not.
Mm.
About to say, like, you know, so, you know, like I said, I just, when you're depicting God, I think that, like, you know, people are going to be a little more sensitive when it comes to that.
Yeah, I can see that. So, like, I also wanted to kind of be able to talk about, like, secular movies that have biblical themes that are maybe not as overt, but it's like...
Give me an example.
Like Gravity, where it's like there's a lot of imagery about her being reborn again after going on her journey, and kind of her, she finds hope again and decides to live, and it's like her being rebirthed once she gets back on Earth, things like that.
I don't know about that one.
Okay, what about The Green Mile?
I haven't seen The Green Mile in so long.
But you know, like, I think his name was...
No, don't let... No, you got to look it up. Because I haven't seen The Green Mile as an adult, because it's such a rough movie to
his
watch.
His name was John Coffey, JC. He was a healer. He was wrongfully accused and executed. Those things where it's like, it's, to me, clearly from the Bible, but... It's not explicit, like, oh, this is a Christian movie. This is about Jesus. Yeah. Things like that.
Like, I get trying to disguise it. Like, it's almost like.
Like how you were saying The Matrix. That's not overtly like, right, this is a Christian movie, but go ahead, break that down.
I mean, it's like a parable. Like, you know, like Jesus teaches in parables. Mm-hmm. So when we see Jesus talking, Jesus always gives you what? A visual.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. Like, let's talk about 10 bridesmaids. Let's talk about, like, you know, the prodigal son. So now as he's telling you these stories, these things are coming to life in your head. You're able to see the prodigal son eating in the pig pen. You're able to see him running back with the master meeting him halfway. So I think because Jesus speaks in parables and Jesus speaks in imagery, and he speaks in a way where you can actually see things, I don't think there's anything wrong with films trying to also give parables to help people understand and see Christ. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I do think there's something wrong with it when you, again, try to take something that is directly from the Bible, mm-hmm, and then you, that thing, like, you know, gets a little distorted. Like, you know, that's the thing where I'm just like, I don't know. But, like, you know, taking a parable and, like, you know, turning a parable, a story about, like, you know, a guy walking down the street, and you turn that into, like, you know, the principle of
the Samaritan or something.
Yeah, like, it's like, hey, like, I'm okay with that. Like, that's a good Christian film. And I think that, like, you know, Christian films are often overlooked that are within the mainstream of Hollywood because they're not screaming God and Jesus every 2 seconds within the film.
Now let me ask you this. Like, if we are able to take creative liberty when it comes to making biblically based movies, right? And I'm not talking about, like, how you were just saying. I'm like, we're going to do the story of Jonah, right?
Okay.
And if if they make that into a movie, do you think that psychologically, since we've kind of trained ourselves to say movies aren't real, that if they try to depict something like a miracle or something that, you know, maybe hard to conceptualize actually happened in the Bible, that it would be easier for people to write off as it's entertainment. It's not real.
That's a good question. I don't know, man. I feel like that's a two-edged sword. I feel like people are going to believe what they want to believe, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So whether or not it was shown well on the screen or not, like, you know, CGI, whatever the case is, people are going to believe what they want to believe, period. But I think at the end of the day, when we are responsible as a director, as a producer of a film, as actors, as editors, whatever the case is, I think that the responsibility that we have is to bring words to life. Mm-hmm. That's all movie making is. It's taking a script that was written and turning it into words. Yeah. One of my favorite depictions of that was in the movie Noah.
And that's another one.
Yeah, Noah is a rough movie to watch from a space of accuracy.
Exactly. And thing.
But, I mean, like I said, the rock people, I hear that, right? But the thing that I did like about Noah is the very beginning of the movie where Noah is telling the story of creation and how that thing, if you ever watch just the intro to Noah and watch how the world was created, and it was like that, like, you know, the
but
void.
But that's the thing. I think that they portrayed evolution, and I didn't appreciate that.
I'm trying to remember the intro. I haven't watched it in a while.
They literally had, like, the fish become the tadpole, become the frog, become the lizard, like, become something with fur.
I think it was just quick cuts. I don't want to say it was evolution.
No, it showed him walking in like a straight line. Like it wasn't.
Did a monkey become a man?
I can't remember.
If it didn't show that, I don't think it was showing evolution.
Wow, I can't believe you.
If you're saying that tadpole went from a tadpole to a frog, that's what happens. Tadpoles turn into frogs.
Watch this.
Pull up on your phone. I'll watch on your phone. I'm about to say, like, if you pull up just the intro to Noah. But what I was saying while you're doing that is I like how we took Genesis 1 of all the things that God created and we added imagery to it. Cause
seeing the imagery.
Right. Like, who knows what it looked like? Like, we don't know because we're not God outside of the universe. So let me watch it. Okay. Okay. The universe. Beautiful. That's some bioluminescence. Random things. Okay. Fish. Eels. Quick cuts of random animals. Yeah, this is just quick cuts. This is not evolution. Yeah, they never showed the only thing they showed was animals, and then they show Adam and Eve right there in the gold. So that's not evolution, in my opinion. That's not a tadpole becoming a human being. They showed the human being outside of the creation of all the quick cuts.
So it goes from monkeys, and then you said, what is the next thing you see?
They go away. It's a whole new thing, and then they show humans. They didn't show the monkey become the human.
But it's inferred.
And then they show the human hand come in. They didn't show the monkey go from...
Right after the monkey.
I get it. I'm about to say, like, it's bad timing.
The whole thing is bad timing. Then.
Anyway, I like the way that the imagery played out because it gave imagery to creation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool to me. Like, you know, and I think that, like, you know, when we're making films, like, you know, we got to give room for people to showcase in our limited way of thinking what this could have looked like. Because we wasn't there.
You're right.
When the world was created. We wasn't there when Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. We wasn't there when these things happened. So what did it look like? I'm about to say, and if we in our limited space have to come up with an imagery for that, then yeah, we're going to get creative.
Yeah.
And try to show the best imagery that we can to get the point across. So back to your original question of, like, you know, does that make people not believe? No, I don't think so. I think that, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, people are going to make their mind up whether they see it or not. But we are responsible for creating the imagery, and it's not always going to be 100% accurate.
Yeah,
but we're going to do our best to get close.
In the Prince of Egypt, I loved the scene where it's like the walls of water.
Yeah.
I thought that like put that gave great imagery to what
absolutely
that could have looked like.
Showing a whale on the other side of the water. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
But who knows if it was like that or not? Yeah. The Bible doesn't say, and they saw the fishes swimming on the wall of the sea. Like, we don't know that.
Right.
So
right.
I think that, like, you know, that stuff is cool. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that stuff. Go ahead.
So, okay. So we kind of touched on, like, secular movies having biblical themes. But what about secular movies who will use scripture either in the beginning or, you know, in the end to, like, yeah, sum it up? Like, how do you feel about that?
We all, well, I'm not going to say that we all, but in the event that you saw the movie Us, Jeremiah 11:11 appeared a multitude of times throughout the film. And what I remember seeing people do when I was in the theater was everybody pulled out their phones. When I say it, the theater is dark.
Yeah.
Complete, like, because we have a respect for Jordan Peele. It's like, oh man, he just did Get Out. This got to be crazy. About to say, so when I say my movie theater was on their best behavior, no cell phones, no nothing. But the minute that scripture came on the screen, all you saw was a bunch of white lights turn on in the theater. And everybody went to the Bible app and was like, nah, let me see this thing. So I think that the Bible is very profitable.
Right.
So unfortunately, people will use it because it makes things hit harder. Why? Because it's truth. The truth hits hard. So at the end of the day, like, you know, it's going to, like, a scripture is going to hit a lot harder than a random saying. And if you can make that scripture relate to your story,
yeah,
it's not so much that I agree with it. It's just I understand why people do it. Mm. Because it's going to sell. Like, that thing, that Jeremiah 11:11, I want to say it was Jeremiah 11:11. I'm sure it was Jeremiah 11:11. But that scripture was the foundation of the whole film. Mm. Now, obviously, Jordan Peele is not a Christian content creator.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, he's a secular creator. So, he didn't make a Christian film.
Right.
He just used the Bible. And I'm not a fan of people, like, doing it. But, again, I understand why it's done. Mm. I watched the movie Us, and I got hyped when I read it. I was like, oh, man, this is about to be crazy. Like, you know, Jeremiah 11, Jeremiah's is a tough book to read, too. Right. Like, you know, so you didn't pull out some random, like, in I just think that people profit off the Bible so much. And but if because the Bible says that what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good.
Okay.
So in the event that somebody read that Bible scripture within the theater and it made them curious about the Bible and then they gave their life to Christ, then so be it.
A win is a win.
A win is a win. We celebrate. I'm about to say heaven rejoices. Why? Because God was able to take something that was intended to be horrific, for lack, because it was a horror film. He took something that was meant to be horrific and he turned it for the good. I'm about to say, because God can do that. Because God is the ultimate scriptwriter.
Come on.
So you can find God in any film, any type of whatever, whatever. He will make himself known. Definitely. Like, you know, so... You know, like I said, I think that, like, you know, it shouldn't be done. But even if it is done, I'm not about to crucify you for it. I'm about to say, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, God is going to get the glory somehow.
Come on.
So, you know, you can't plagiarize this book and then act like he ain't going to get the credit.
Speaking of, like, faith-based horror films, how do you feel about that?
Oh, that's stupid. And I still want to talk about the Book of Clarence. Before we stray deep into, but
okay.
Let's talk about that for a second. I'm so tired of these stupid exorcism movies.
Okay.
They're dumb.
Okay.
And this is no shade to nobody. I'm not trying to knock nobody. I love film and I pray that my film integrity never gets lost and stuff like that. Deliverance was a dumb movie. Mm. Deliverance was not, like, I hate when I watch these movies and the Christians are all these weak people out here throwing holy water on people. Where do you see anybody throwing holy water on anybody? Jesus don't throw no holy water on no demon and then the demon starts, like that's not a thing. So when I see it in films, it's like, come on, man. Like, this be all the and that's not all horror films like that. There's a new one with Brandy out where, isn't it where, like, the Holy Spirit is supposedly the villain? There's a person that believes in the Holy Spirit, and that person is the antagonist of the film.
Yeah.
It's that new Brandy film that we talked about it the other day. It was random.
I can't remember.
Look it up.
I think it's supposed to be coming out.
No. It's already out. I think it's on HBO Max. Don't go watch it. Where the person literally is, like, you know, like, quote unquote, possessed by the Holy Spirit. I could be wrong.
That's
as far as the
different.
I could be wrong as far as the 100% details, but they tried to make holy, I know for a fact they tried to make Holy Spirit scary.
Jeez.
And I laughed and I said, you know what, the Holy Spirit is scary to somebody that ain't got him.
Come on.
It is. I bet it is a horror film to you. I guarantee. Look, what the demon say? He said, yo, Jesus, why have you come before your time? Like, you know, like they were scared of Jesus.
Yeah.
About said, so at the end of the day, like, you know, if you want to make a horror film from the perspective of a non-believer coming into contact with God, coming into contact with somebody that's opposing God, hey, you know what? Go right on ahead.
I bet you that is scary.
So I bet it is scary. Mm-hmm. I bet Holy Spirit pulling up on you. It, like, because, I mean, we talked about this as well. One of the scariest scenes in The Prince of Egypt is what?
The angel of death scene?
The angel of death scene is horrific. The way that they had those kids in the whole land of Egypt crying.
Yeah.
That thing is scary. The when you're just taking a breath as they exhale.
Yeah.
And then, like, the kids' arms just fell.
Mm-hmm.
That's some scary stuff.
And it's like you see the angel comes and sees the blood, and then it's like, oh, all right.
Like, I'm all scared for them. Like, you putting the blood on your doorpost, my guy? Like that angel, like, what if you forgot to put the blood on the doorpost because you got busy? Like,
it'd be the last thing you
forget. Oh, no. No. Holy Spirit, no. I'm sorry. But, like, you know, so to the Egyptians, I'm sure that was very horrific. True. So if you make a film I don't like it. I'm not supporting it. But I'm saying that, like, you know what? Again, God gets the glory. The Holy Spirit is scary to those who don't have him, to those who oppose him, to the enemies of God. Being an enemy of God is scary. So if you put that in a movie, then, hey, man, that's tough.
Nefarious. That was like...
What is that?
You never heard of it?
No.
You might have seen a trailer where it's like this guy is in prison, but he's like... possessed by like this demon or Satan, and the guy is like talking to him, and he's like low-key giving Satan's playbook, like, yeah, this is what we be.
I might have seen a trailer.
Like,
how old is it?
Supposed to be horror. It came out in 2023.
I might have seen a trailer for it. Yeah. I don't know,
but that's what I mean by, like, yeah, like Christian
films.
Yeah, faith-based horror films where it's like,
yeah,
we acknowledge that there's an enemy, we acknowledge God is more powerful, you know, the good and evil thing.
Yeah.
So
I'm not saying I am personally not saying no. I'm saying that I would never watch these films. This is coming from somebody that actually likes a good thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Those movies are stupid. I'm about to say, like, you know, those movies, The Deliverance, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and I know all these things are technically based off of true stories and true events.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that they haven't happened. But I think that, like, you know, when you send somebody in to cast out a demon that has no power, it's going to be horrific.
Mm.
I'm about to say, you using holy water as your, no. My Bible says he spoke to, man, come out that boy. Go into them pigs.
Right.
Kill yourself.
Right.
Like that. That's as simple as it was in the power of Jesus Christ. Like, you know, like all this carrying around a crucifix and that stuff don't work. But again, in order for a movie to be, because if you really were to make a true movie with a Christian.
It'd be a short movie.
It'd be a short movie. Intro. Oh, this person possessed. Demon come out. Deliverance. Over.
Yeah.
So you got to make the demon strong throughout the majority of the movie.
Which, you know, I've always said that is demonic propaganda. Like, it's telling the world we're this strong entity that you should be afraid of.
Yeah. Come on. Stop.
But we shouldn't.
Stop.
Not if you got Holy Spirit.
Stop. So, yeah, I'm about to say horror movies based off Christian faith is stupid.
Okay. So I know you want to talk about Book of Clarence.
Let's talk about the Book of
Clarence.
The fact
that was in your top five, I got to hear more.
The Book of Clarence is a good movie because I think of the historical, quote unquote, accuracy. Now, hear me.
I'm listening.
The movie has a lot of new age stuff in there that they've obviously incorporated into because of whatever. I think that one, Christians wrote the movie off from the jump because Jay-Z produced it.
No.
I think they also wrote it off from the jump because of the trailer saying that he was the Messiah.
He was portraying himself
as the Messiah.
Being like with the purpose to be deceptive.
Right. Is that historically accurate?
Which
I'll
part?
Wait. No. The people.
Were there other people depicting themselves
as the Messiah? Is that historically accurate?
It is.
Okay.
That is accurate.
So, when you're able to get out your spiritual feelings of, oh, no, not my God. Hey, when you watch that movie, they don't really make fun of Jesus.
No, they don't, in my opinion,
they don't discredit Jesus. Even when they show Jesus on screen.
Yeah.
They show Jesus on screen in a good light, the actual person that was the Messiah. Not the people that were portraying him, because at the end of the movie, for those who haven't seen it, and you probably won't ever see it if you ain't seen it by now, but there's a bunch of different quote-unquote Jesuses, messiahs, self-proclaimed messiahs that are all being crucified at the time. So one is showing that he wasn't the only one, but they just followed his lifestyle. Why? Because they were trying to show from a historical place what happens to those people who tried to portray themselves as this for profit and gain. This movie was about belief and unbelief. Mm-hmm. The guy that played Clarence, Lakeith Stanfield, he didn't believe. The whole movie, he didn't believe. I don't like the way they made the disciples. But the disciples were jerks in the movie. Saying like, oh, you can't be over here, da-da-da-da. I like the fact that they made Clarence a twin.
Yeah.
Because the book calls Thomas nicknamed Twin.
Yeah.
So again, creative freedom, where they say, what does this mean?
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't say that Thomas has a twin brother.
Yeah.
But the fact that they called him twin, maybe he does.
Yeah.
I'm cool with y'all making him a twin. I'm okay with that. So they made the disciples really like mean. John the Baptist was funny. Like, like slapping them longer baptism than expected, whatever case is. But the meat of the film is when it gets to him coming into his belief. When he proclaims to be the Messiah after he's captured by the Romans, I'm not the Messiah. He says, yeah, I'm not really him, bro. I was just doing this to make some money. They say, hey, just to make sure, walk in this water. Now, he walks on water. I think if he would have never walked on water, I think that he would have got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably would have went right back to doing it. So God said, your consequence for trying to be me, you'll be persecuted like me. You'll die like me.
Which is kind of biblical.
Which is biblical. So, and I think that when you watch the movie, he comes into a space of, I believe. I now believe in this person because what? This man came and resurrected me. Now, the movie, he gets this light bulb above his head because he was always a guy with ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets a bright idea. I believe that what's inferred is the idea that he has is to say, go out and tell the world that Jesus is real. I think that's the idea that he has.
That's a lot of assumptions.
I think that's definitely the inference there. It's like, hey, like he's had all these ideas the whole movie that were to put him in the best spot to be successful for whatever. But then on top of that, it's like, he then has a moment where, like, you know, he's like, yo, I've encountered Jesus for real. I've seen Jesus for real. And in seeing Jesus for real, now all of a sudden, I got this bright idea that I'm about to go tell the world about him. And again, that may not be what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But because there is no right or wrong as far as what you believe the movie was trying to show in that moment, that's just what I choose to believe.
Okay.
Because that movie, he has a real encounter with Christ, and they have an encounter with Christ. He believed him back when he was when he walked on water. He believed him when he was in a jail cell. He believed in Jesus at that point in time. And I think that's just a creative way to show, one, the people that were depicting the Messiah, even when they had Benedict Cumberbatch in there as the white Jesus.
Exactly. Like, as if Jesus can just be made. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
but I love how they even show that this is how we got the picture of Jesus being painted. When that guy was painting the white Jesus in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just thought that's a funny joke. Because we know for a fact Jesus ain't white, which we'll talk about in a second. But like, you know, there's like, you know, like that's cool, creative, like, you know, flow, in my opinion. And this is no, hear my heart, guys. In no way am I against Caucasians. In no way am I against white actors. Stop making these biblical characters pale white. Jesus was not white. Have you seen the movie Gods of Egypt?
No.
Guess who played Moses?
I'm guessing a white guy.
Christian Bale. The same guy that plays Batman in The Dark Knight. Christian Bale played Moses. Let's talk about this for a quick second. Where is Egypt?
In Africa.
In Africa. But you decided to make Moses Christian Bale white.
They made, what you call it, Jesus. Who didn't Mel Gibson play Jesus?
Yes,
or like
another
that?
Problem for
in
me.
In the, what you call it?
Yeah, Passion of Christ.
Passion,
like, you know, like
Christ.
He didn't play the whole movie. It was just like, you know, one of the scenes, it was his body.
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem for me. So I don't have a problem with, like, you know, like with actors. I just don't like when, like, there are some accuracies that you can stick to.
Yes.
The color of people's skin is something you can stick to.
That part.
Like, you know, we don't have to make Christian Bale Moses. Like, you know, and like I said, we don't have to make Jesus a dark-skinned guy either. Like how he was in the Book of Clarence. I don't think he was a dark-skinned guy. I don't think he was darker than me. But I do believe that he was Middle Eastern, which means that he has some melanin to his pigment.
Yeah.
You watched The Chosen, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, do you have any problem with the depiction of Jesus, the disciples, or anybody in The Chosen?
I wouldn't say a problem. I'll just leave it at that. It's a lot of creative liberty taken.
Yeah. And I think that The Chosen, from what I've seen, is a good show. I about to say, I know that a lot of people love the show. It's a good show. And again, to your point, there's so many things that aren't necessarily like listed in the Bible that you kind of
right,
gotta like,
right,
let's create a story around this thought or around this detail.
Yes.
And I think that's cool. But like, you know, seeing people play Jesus is always cringe to me. Like, I don't know if it ever will be a thing where it's like, oh man, you are a good Jesus. like growing up, it's funny, man. I went to a church back home, and whenever we did plays, there's this guy, and I'm not gonna drop his name because I don't want y'all gonna look him up, but we called him Diesel Jesus because he was so strong, dark skinned, bald headed dude, great guy, loved Christ all the way through and through. So if you see this video, I love you, sir. But he always played Jesus because he knew how to yell, be like Father, like, you know, like as he's on the cross, or whatever. Like, you know, like, but when I say that, like, it was just like, I don't know if Jesus was this strong. I don't know if he was this. Oh, he definitely won't ball. Like, you know, it's just like it's like. But I get when you as a director have to take creative liberty to depend, and then you got to work with what you got.
Gotta work with what you got. Speaking of work, what you got? Do you feel like a lot of Christian movies are seen as low budget?
I believe that Christian cinema does not get the budget that it needs.
Oh.
Now shout out to all the movies like God's Not Dead. Shout out to movies like War Room. Mm-hmm. Shout out to movies like The Forge. Like, you know, like, I'm glad that y'all are able to get the message out.
Yes.
Like there is Christian cinema that exists.
Yes.
That is purely and not controversial.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, so I think those things are out there. But I looked up the other day, I looked up PureFlix. And when you look up PureFlix's budget, I mean, not budget, their net worth. Their net worth is $30 million.
Hmm.
Now, to the average person, that sounds like a whole lot. However, the net worth for Netflix is $425 billion.
Mm.
So when I think about a PureFlix cinematic piece in comparison to what a Netflix piece is going to be, it's probably going to pale in comparison.
Mm.
So I think that there a lot of people aren't investing a lot of money into these Christian platforms.
Mm.
And it's unfortunate because I think that, like, you know, we were watching on Angel Studios the other day, which is a great platform. If you're looking for some, and we'll talk about this probably later too, but quick tidbit, if you're looking for any decent Christian platforms to watch films and stuff on, Angel Studios and PureFlix, they have them for you. So mm-hmm. Knock yourself out. But when we were watching on Angel Studios, the what was that show?
Young David.
David, yeah, animated show. Good show, right? But each episode, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And Netflix, unfortunately, has crippled us to believe that all episodes should be an hour long. So
at least 30 minutes.
At least 30 minutes. So now, like, we get this low-budget film.
It's not low budget. It looks great. It's
it looks great,
like,
but
why aren't
because
they longer?
Low budget is like, it can't be long. The duration can't be long.
Mm.
You can't get a bunch of actors in it. It's just one voice the whole time. Like, you know, it's like these Christian films don't get the same. I just don't think they're going to get the same look because they don't have the same budget.
Mm.
Like that. I think, and holding myself accountable as well. Because I'm a movie buff. And I'm not going to hold you. There are a lot of movies I be seeing that are Christian based that I'm like, this looks really corny, guys. Like, notice how there was no Pure Flix, no Angel Studio movie in my top five. And I'm not saying that to knock anything. I'm saying that to say that when it comes to what's entertaining, because that's what I get into film for, I like the movies like The Matrix, where you can hide a message in it with a high budget and go crazy. Because the budget for The Matrix, that movie was balls to the walls when you looked at it. It's just like, man, like this slow motion, explosions, gunfights, action, helicopters, all types of random graphics. Like, you know, like, and I know for a fact that Christian films don't have that same budget. So we, as the Christians, I think need to not only bring awareness to this thing, but we have to begin to invest in Angel Studios. Get you an Angel Studio. If you're a Christian and you support Christian content, get you an Angel Studios account. Get you a Pure Flix account.
Yeah.
Pay for the subscription. You're paying for Netflix. Yeah. You're paying for Prime. You're paying for Disney Plus, which is demonic.
Ooh.
Like, you know, so at the end of the day, it's like, you know, like if you can support the agenda of the world.
Yeah.
How much more invested should we all be? Myself included. I did not download Angel Studios until last night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sitting here trying to make myself holier than thou. I got to download it. I got to support. I got to pay for the subscriptions. But I think that that's the only way that we're going to see Christian cinema really blossom is when they get the money. The Bible, I mean, the stats are the majority of the people in the United States are Christians.
Mm.
Like that, the percentage of the United States, and I'll say the United States only because I can't speak for other countries yet, but I believe that the statistic is the majority of the 50 states, they're religious preference or their religious practice is Christianity.
Okay.
If every Christian in the United States got a Pure Flix account, if every Christian got an Angel Studios account and subscribed for the highest package, do we think that the budgets will be low come these next films?
You're right. They'd probably be able to put out some fire stuff.
Some dope content.
Yeah,
I am somebody that.
And
wants,
I feel like we're seeing more and more of that. Like some of the movies that are coming out, it's like, okay, y'all had a little bit of budget.
Yeah.
And so I think, I don't know. I'm here for it. I hope that we do get more Christians just able to bring the gospel in maybe creative ways. And yeah. Really infiltrating the film industry, because I think that that's what we need. I think a lot of people can receive the gospel in different mediums, and film being one of them would be amazing. Because, I mean, we sit on our phones, we scroll every day, we're constantly taking in a lot of different secular thoughts and imagery and things like that. So it's like, what do we have that is combating that, you know?
Right.
So.
And I'll also throw this tidbit out there as well. All the actors that claim to be Christians, maybe y'all should dedicate some of your talents to Pure Flix and Angel Studios. Like, we love the fact that Denzel Washington just got baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just got baptized. He's now a licensed minister. I know you're about to retire.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe your last film could be on Pure Flix. Maybe your last film could be on Angel Studios. Like, and again, I would make content. I want to make film. Anybody that knows me knows I want to make film. I want to make Christian content as well. And I'm going to be one of those guys that I'll probably make more films on the lines of The Matrix, where it's super biblical, but you can't tell. But I'm actually going to make my movies based upon the Bible. So if it's graphic or whatever the case is, read your Bible. Your Bible is graphic.
Yeah.
So I would dedicate I would rather sign, if Netflix gave me a deal right now for $100 million, and then PureFlix gave me a deal right now for $150,000. Let's just make it distinctively different.
Yeah.
I would now be put in a place where it's like, hey, what do I want to do? Yeah. Now, it's a double-edged sword, because I can be like, hey, if I get on Netflix, I make more money, and I'll be able to reach more people.
True.
Da-da-da-da. Or, hey, go ahead and help build PureFlix and help build Angel Studios.
And that's probably, you know, the conflict that a lot of people have.
Yeah, but that's why it's like, when you've made it, when you're not looking at the numbers anymore, that's when it's like, you know what? Denzel Washington could bring a slew of an audience.
Yeah.
To Pure Flix, to Angel Studios. Like all these other, and I'm not trying to pick on Denzel, but he's just a like only person I can think of right now that comes to mind that has openly confessed their faith. Like, you know, so it's like all us content creators, all of us people that want to create movies and stuff that are Christians, maybe we should start looking at Pure Flix as how do I infiltrate over here?
Yeah.
How do I get their attention? Like, what do I need to write letters in? Do I need to submit my films over here? Are there any Christian film festivals, like, you know, that we could be a part of? Like, you know, like, send those things to us so we can help build the platform. That's what I think we should be doing as Christian content creators.
I like that. Yeah, I agree.
And I think that that would just help bring just a flex to the faith.
Yeah.
As a whole, it's like, hey man, Netflix dropped the net because let's keep it a bean too. The only thing y'all watching on Netflix is porn.
Whoa.
Everything that you watching on Prime, all these shows that we're watching is gore and it's pornish. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, what sells? Sex sells. So all these shows, like, you know, that are already infomature, it's either going to be over the top, rambunctious violence, or it's going to be like, you know, nudity, sexually, like, you know, based content, whatever case is. And again, we're adults. I'm not gonna say act like I don't watch shows like Power or whatever case is, but at the end of the day it's like, you know, like when we really like examine our hearts, it's like, are we watching this show because it's the only good story, or are we watching this show because it gives us the thrill of a lifestyle that we can't live?
So do you feel like if other platforms had the budget to make better stories, or, you know, I'm not coming for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure everybody thinks their project is like necessary and needed and all the things. But sure. Like, do you think that you would switch? Like, is that even realistic?
Would I switch from what?
Like Netflix to like Pure Flix, and that's really where you watch.
I'll say this.
And because get all your entertainment from.
I'll say this. I'm about to say, again, I believe that God makes certain people chameleons. I believe that, like, you know, he plants people in secular fields. We look at Joseph, vice president of a secular government. We look at Daniel, secular government, top of the employees there. I believe that God is always putting agents, kingdom ambassadors, in place of secular businesses to push the agenda of the faith in those areas. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I wouldn't consider going to Netflix or whatever case is, that that's what was on the table.
Yeah.
But it would have to be something that God makes evidently clear that this is where he wants it to be. Notice how these guys wasn't gunning for, oh, I got to be vice president of Egypt. Oh, I got to be next to King Nebuchadnezzar. I got to be the best.
Yeah.
Like, they wasn't doing that. They were living a lifestyle for God, and God placed them there.
Yeah, yeah.
So if God places me on Netflix, then cool, I'm over here. But if it's just a matter of my heart and what I feel more comfortable doing, then you know what? I just might go to Pure Flix, because for me, it's not about the money.
Mm.
To me, it's about, hey, I want to, like, I'd rather make Pure Flix money than make Netflix money. Now, and again, I haven't done my research on who owns Pure Flix and who owns Angel Studios.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not going to sit here and act like every Christian platform is Christian fueled or has a Christian at the top of the food chain making all this stuff happen.
That's what you're saying.
But what I will say is that when I think of the idea of what I want my children to be watching, when I think of the idea of what I should be watching, when I think of the idea of where I want my eye gates and my ear gates to be the majority of my entertainment time.
Yes.
I would much rather it be in a place where I don't have to worry about, like, you know, coming across the wrong thing and having to close my eyes and having to like turn my head and having to repent and having to do all these things
right.
Because I was being entertained.
Yeah.
So Pure Flix, please hire me. Angel Studios, please hire me. I would love to bring content that is creative, innovative, and thought out, something that can sell.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to build that platform. Netflix, please hire me, because I would love to push the agenda of Christ in the world, because that's what this thing has to be about.
Yeah.
For content creators especially, if you're into short film or whatever case is, that you want to make films and you're a Christian, I highly encourage you to just look into what it would take to infiltrate those type of rooms.
Yeah. and use your talent for the kingdom.
Absolutely.
I think that this, you make a really good point about just supporting Christian films, Christian shows, Christian directors, producers, yeah. all those things, so that we can take up more space in the industry.
Absolutely.
Because it's important.
It is. I about to say, and again, we're not condemning anybody for watching these other films. Again, I told y'all what my top five was. So my top five is not on PureFlix, but
maybe
I just encourage
5 years from now they will be.
Right. I about to say, like, you know, I think that, like, you know, we all should just be more than willing to go support a platform that calls the same God that you worship their God.
Yeah.
Like that's important to me.
That's pushing a kingdom agenda and not a worldly one. Cause
right.
That's everywhere.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, well.
This is
fun.
Yes.
I about to say, like, go watch you a good Christian film. Go and let us know, again, what your top five, like, you know, films are. Put that in the comments. I about to say, like, you know, we're interested to know. Like, you know, what are some films that we missed? Like, you know, y'all, we, like, films been around for a long time. So what films have we missed that are Christian content based, that are good, that we should check out?
Yeah, what are your top three?
And tell us what you think about our top three, our top fives. About say, should they be in there? Should they not be in there? Like, you know, we really want to hear you all, like, you know, really sound off, like, you know, as to what you think. But this is great. So thank y'all for joining us again for another episode of Here's the Thing podcast. And we will talk to y'all later. So until next time.
See you next time. Bye. Peace.